Welcome to the Danger Room, a place to prepare for the opponents you are yet to face. We discuss strategy and how to level up your game in Marvel Crisis Protocol. We will have our Xavier Protocol segment, some hot takes discussing something new and shiny, and our main topic of the week. We would like to begin by thanking you, the listener, for giving us your time to listen to our opinions of the game. On the podcast, we have Jacob, Sploosh, and myself, Dizzard.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Danger Room. As we advertised previously, Dizzard is not with us and won't be next week and possibly the week after, so we've asked in a very special guest, Dave Dan Alden, also known as Utility Cookie, to come and help us out. Hey Dave, how you doing?
Hey guys, I'm fine. How about yourselves?
Yeah, very well. Just in case anyone hasn't heard of you, who are you and why are you talking to us?
I'm just some random guy who sucks at this game.
Seriously.
Actually, it was a lot of groveling by me. Is how he got here, begging and pleading for his presence.
Yeah, hitting me up on Discord, sending me texts over WhatsApp.
So, listeners, if you're not aware of Dave is in Holland, and he's been writing a lot of articles on the Across the Bifrost network, and has recently done a 5-part magnum opus on how to play Black Order, and has started a similar thing for X-Force. And if you haven't seen those articles, they're really good, and I do recommend you go and give them a read.
Yeah, the Black Order ones I didn't write all by myself. It's with Finger Guns and Ulysses as well. So
absolutely. Sorry,
can't take all the credit there.
Put them down.
Yep.
So we're going to jump straight in to our Xavier Protocol section, and Dave's going to help us out as we go along. I wanted to talk. We talked a bit last week about Sploosh looking at the results that are being compiled from the league, and talking about how he was slightly concerned about Wakanda and Black Order. And I just wanted to kind of give a framework for looking at how scientists go about looking at results and deciding whether they are, you might have heard the phrase, statistically significant. So I just want to dig into that a minute. For that, I'm going to have to explain another phrase, which is a null hypothesis. And the null hypothesis is basically something which you assume to be true and then try and prove it's wrong to try and prove there's something going on. So for our null hypothesis, we're going to assume that Wakanda and Black Order, and maybe a couple of other factions we're going to talk about, should have a 50% win rate. That is what we're seeing in the league. They've got a 50% win rate, and we're looking for evidence to try and disprove that idea so that they're maybe higher than 50%, or maybe in the case of some factions, lower than 50%. The way you do that is you go, well, let's assume the null hypothesis is true, and that every time Black Order or Wakanda plays, there is a 50% chance of them winning. Then we look at our evidence, and we look at the win rates, and we go, if that's true, what is the chance, given that they've got a 50% chance of winning, of us seeing the evidence that we have in front of us? So what does that mean? So Wakanda, factoring in week 3, their total win record is 34 out of 47. So they've won out of 47 games, excluding mirrors, they've won 34 of them. Now that seems pretty good, but is that statistically significant? Well, what you do is you say, let's assume there's a 50% chance of them winning each game. So imagine I'm flipping a coin. If I flip a coin 47 times, what are the chances of it coming up 34 or more heads? And it turns out the chance of that happening is less than 1%. It's 0.15%. The threshold for being statistically significant is if the chance of this happening by random chance is less than 5%. So less than 1 in 20, then we'd say it's statistically significant. If it's less than 1%, then it's very likely to be a significant result. Now, what that doesn't mean is that Wakanda is broken and we should nerf them. What that means is there's something going on with Wakanda. Maybe they're very strong. Maybe it's the players who are playing them. Maybe Wakanda attracts a good player. But what that means is there's something going on and we should do more study. It's a classic science thing. Let's do a bit more digging into why this is. So that's called the p-value, and a p-value of less than 0.05, so the chance of this happening by random chance of less than 5%, means that it's statistically significant, and Wakanda is significantly below that threshold. Now, Black Order, before, was at the end of week 2, was at a record of 16 out of 23, which is pretty good, and the p-value there came to just below that threshold. It was 0.047, so that's just a tiny bit below 5. But after you factor in the results from week 3, it goes to a 1.4% chance of that happening by random chance if there was a 50% win rate for Black Order. So again, that's telling us that there's something happening with Black Order that means that their win rate is significantly better than 50%. So we've got this Wakanda and Black Order. So is it? We talk about sample size, and this is a way of looking at sample size and going, can we extrapolate from the sample we've got to make valid conclusions? And it looks like, the win rate is not 50% for Wakanda and Black Order. It looks to be above that. Exactly how much above that is difficult to say, and you have to do some more complicated maths. Maybe we'll save that for next week. But I thought we'd look at some other affiliations based on this analysis, this way of analyzing. And one that jumped out to me was Cabal. Cabal, after week two, had a 42% win rate. So does that mean that Cabal are a little bit underpowered? So at the end of week two, they'd won 8 of their 19 games. And when you do that same analysis, the chance of that happening by random chance, assuming that Cabal wins 50% of its games, is 32%. Now, that's pretty high. So that's significantly above our 5% threshold that we say for statistical significance. And that means that, okay, Cabal's just lost some games, and we don't think that's statistically significant. In the same way, Guardians won 1 out of 5, and the p-value there is 0.185, so 18.5% chance, well above our 5% threshold. One that comes close is A-Force. A-Force only won 9 out of 27 games, and so with their 33% win rate, that looks a bit, but with only 27 games, is it statistically significant? And the p-value there, when you run the numbers, 9 out of 27, you're looking at 6.1%, so it's just shy of our threshold of saying it's significant. But that's without, I haven't factored in the week 3 games there yet. So when those numbers get updated, maybe we'll circle back and say, not only are Wakanda a bit too strong, but A-Force, for all the complaining people did about drop-off Mark 2.0, maybe they're not as strong as we think. Okay. Sploosh, any thoughts on that?
My head's spinning a little bit. I mean, I think A-Force is super good, but like, unfortunately, popularity of kind of counter teams, I think, is a concern for them, with Brotherhood doing quite well, and then also obviously Black Order, which we talked about. I think that's kind of, they have a good matchup into A-Force, where A-Force has a pretty good matchup into Wakanda. So it's just a little bit more variance going on with that.
And Dave, before the pod, you said you had some like college level maths. Is it all starting to come flooding back now?
A bit. It's been so long ago, but I remember some bits and pieces. It makes sense. So,
the takeaway from this section is Wakanda and Black Order seem good. And that maybe ties into one of our main topic we're going to hit on to later today. So bear that in mind. We're going to move on, and we're going to do a hot take on Lizard. So Sploosh, what do you think about Lizard?
I'm going to say the obvious. He feels like another Drax character, which is also kind of a Luke Cage character, I believe. I haven't actually looked at Luke Cage too much, but I have him in the mail on his way. Just these characters that have the sort of -1 damage text, which seems to be renamed constantly. Like this one's called Thick Hide, where you would reduce the damage to a minimum of 1. I think that these characters, I'm just speaking from seeing kind of community and Discord, not so much like, I don't know what Facebook is doing, but I just like people don't seem too high on Lizard. But I think these characters, they don't get a lot of fanfare, but they are kind of key players in sort of swarmy lists. Usually they stick with their affiliation though. Like I think Drax generally doesn't, for example, get played too much outside of like the swarm of Guardians, at least not in my experience. I don't know. Personally, I'd be curious to hear what you guys think, but I don't know if I see Lizard being unaffiliated. But definitely, there's definitely something going on with Spider Foes lately. With these, we talked about the Hunter guy being 3-threat and now Lizard's 3-threat. And I think I could, in my mind, see both of these characters as 4th-threat characters if AMG wanted them to be. But clearly, there seems to be a move. Also, you got Mysterio as well, a 3-threat. So it seems like they're trying to push this thing with the 3-threats. And I don't know. I've done no deep thought on this, but maybe there's an argument for trying to play a little bit more swarmy with foes. Their leadership seems like I could see that being really good in a swarmy kind of list. Where instead of like dice quality, you're just doing sheer dice volume, where you have just so many characters rolling dice that eventually something's going to spike. And I could see where the foe leadership, that kind of works out better than, for example, the Guardian's leadership.
So, you could play like seven characters now, I think, right? At 19 points with Lizard being 3 and Kraven being a 3.
Yeah, I could see that being decent for sure. He's got a little bit of an expensive throw. It's very short range, but it is size 3, so that's definitely pretty decent. Again, just like Drax. He's better than Drax in some ways. I mean, he's got the 4 physical dice and a healing factor. But the problem is, and I say better loosely, because he also doesn't hit that hard either. His role is definitely to be the super tanky guy. And I mean, it's kind of cool. I mean, if that's what you're looking for and what you're in the market for example, maybe Criminal Syndicate, then, you know, min max, right? This guy feels kind of almost a min max survivor, you know? What do you guys think?
But I kind of like him, I think, especially in foes. They have that that card that can swap damage, right?
You do damage to other characters and then you heal a character,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, right. So if he's pretty tanky, he has healing factor. So if you take 3 damage on him and heal 3 on another one, he can healing factor it back up. You have Venom in there that can heal. Carnage can heal. I mean, maybe there's something there, right?
You could even throw Mr. Sinister in there, so they just heal up his genetic sample.
Oh, right, yeah, maybe, yeah.
It's a fun little synergy there, with a whole bunch of cheap healing factor characters.
Yeah, and you can use exceptional healing, so pretty good extract holder, secure sitter, I think.
Yeah. I think. Let me just say, regarding the healing factor, I know people can be a little down on healing factor 1, but I think if you look at it as like giving him sort of like a partial immunity to like cubes, you know?
Yeah, because I think Spyrofos will really love cubes with all the little chip damage. They're a bit power hungry. Their cards also doing some chip damage when people are holding extracts, cubes doing extra damage. And he can healing factor his cube damage back up. So, yeah.
Yeah. Fisk and Terrigen as well are good ones for that, where you do damage every turn, so he can just take it.
I mean, the question you're always going to come to is, are you ever going to play him out of affiliation? And pretty much the only spot I can see him is maybe in Criminal Syndicate, if you are looking to go Criminal Syndicate cut with Spider Foes, because he's pretty good in Criminal Syndicate. He's decently tanky. He's got the same power generation issues that Criminal Syndicate often runs into, but he's not awful there. And if you wanted to have a blended roster where you've got options for both, he'll play in Criminal Syndicate quite nicely as well as being in Spider Foes. But outside of that, I don't see any great incentive to take him in any other affiliation right now. And I'm hoping we've seen some of the Spider Foes cards coming out, and I don't know if we've seen all of them, but there's a huge pattern in 4 dice builders, and we talked last week about the numbers around 4 dice builders, and it just is such a downer when you see a 4 dice builder on a 3 threat when you're comparing it to someone like, it's not quite a fair comparison, but look at Zemo, who's got 5 dice with a reroll, or Crystal, who's got all kinds of cool builders and has rerolls on them, and yes, they're 4 dice, but one of them's 5 dice,
and she can do 3 basically.
He's a little bit underwhelming for me. I can see he might be a staple in a Spider Foes list, but even there, you said he's like Drax, but he's like the defensive Drax. Drax has got all these cool things that suddenly trigger that give him extra dice and stuff like that. And you talked about like a going wide and roll until you spike. Well, I'd rather have Drax in that kind of list than I would Lizard, because if that's what my aim is, then Drax has got more potential to spike because he's got more ways of helping his offense. Whereas Lizard is Drax, but defense. So he'll get played in Spider Foes, but he's not going to change the world, I don't think.
Do you remember, Cookie, your Drax just annihilated my Thanos? Was that the he uses like the Destroyer token or Vengeance token or something?
Yeah.
So like, it's definitely not fair to completely compare to Drax. Drax can just murder things out of nowhere. where I don't see Lizard doing that really at all. He's using more like slows, bleeds, pushes, you know, kind of.
Yeah, I think you want just want him in Spider Foes. He's the affiliated three. He has the tanky role there. Like I said, the swap damage. Maybe he can take some damage, move retreat with an extract, and heal him up or heal someone else.
You know, it might not be exciting either, but we might just be seeing a precedent here that this is we can be lazy and just call it like the Drax character. But, like, you're just going to take a character like these guys, you know, the ones I mentioned earlier, and just put them in affiliations and just kind of say, hey, here's this character that does this thing where it's pretty good in a swarmy list, and they're tanky, they can hold some objectives well. This is just a thing we're going to do. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of these characters in the future, you know.
And I don't mind that. Having a variety of roles within an affiliation. So he's the tanky three. If you want some survivability in your spider foes, go grab Lizard. But I'm not sure that jives that well with Spider Foes' game plan, although I'm not entirely sure what their game plan is at the minute, so we're still trying to figure them out.
Yeah, we haven't really figured it out, right?
So maybe he's essential as like an extract holder, and he's got wall crawler and a large base and a medium move, so he can threaten those far extracts. Maybe he's not a bad throwaway double move to a far extract round one and sort of one of those bold plays that Omnus was such a fan of.
Yeah.
So he's got some stuff he can do, and maybe people will unlock him. But like I said, I don't think he's going to change the world.
No, and we shouldn't forget, but what I've noticed is that when stuff gets spoiled, everyone's like, it seems like most people are a bit disappointed. But yeah, if you compare everything to Angela and Medusa and Enchantress, then everything looks bad, I think. So,
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's the genius, I think, of the way AMG set up affiliations, because you can kind of almost have two separate lists of like characters good in affiliation and characters good out of affiliation.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not so hot on Lizard. To sum him up, he's fine.
He's a threat. Right.
Let's move on. Loosh, why don't you introduce this next section and talk about why we've got Cookie on today?
Yeah, sure. We're going to talk about Black Order.
I thought it was X-Force.
Oh. No. you know, it's honestly, you know, I've been talking to Cookie and playing practice games with Cookie and Art, which, you know, shout out to Art, because the guy, he's always around playing. And I didn't mention him in one of the episodes with talking about the affiliations, but you know, Art's been trucking with Black Order, and it's been cool to learn from Art and Cookie. And I just felt like if we're going to talk about Black Order, which I really wanted to do, why not do it with Mr. Cookie here? I'm just going to say, I think you've sort of taken what Morgan maybe explored for all of us, and I think you brought it to another level. And you know, I think Black Order has been slightly solved, at least for the modern moment. I mean, you never know, a new release could change everything. But I think it's super important that people hear about Black Order, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like when you play against or with Black Order, the game is shifted, and it almost feels like a completely different game of Marvel Crisis Protocol than any other game. Similar to if you're playing against like a Wakanda or a Cabal or whatever, you know, the game just shifts in it and has a different tempo to it. And I really want to explore that with Cookie and get into it a little bit. Maybe help. I realize a lot of listeners might not be interested in learning how to play Black Order, but I'm sure a lot of people will be interested in learning how to beat them. And I definitely want to cover that today. So Cookie, I want to ask you, what got you into testing and learning about Black Order? How did that go?
When Thanos was released, I just love the affiliation. I've played them since the beginning, and then I used to do the Rocket Brute drop-off thing with Corvus and Proxima when that was possible, and that was super good. Wonder why they banned it.
Yeah, that's the thing. They mentioned Cable, but the whole time I'm thinking, excuse me? Have you tried this Corvus thing? Because it's kind of nuts.
To be honest, if it was still legal, I don't know if I even had the room for it now.
Really, you wouldn't? Are you kidding me? Wait, are you thinking
if it was rifles, restricted? Mothership, so many good cards.
Hold on, though. If it was restricted, you're telling me you wouldn't play it?
No, I think you've got something. So good. Oh, you've got so good. I could never play without it.
Yeah, sure, but you just do drop off, and all you've got is your restricted cards, wouldn't you?
But then I also need rocket boots.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But I mean, it was fun at that time. But yeah, I was playing it then, and then new stuff came out, and I didn't really. I was playing the traditional way with the tunnels only with the mind gem, and that's it, right? And then build from there. No other gems. Corvus and reality gem. And then I started playing in the draft thingy we did, Jacob. With you, you were in there. Matt was in there, and Matt drafted the Thanos and went with 9 points, Thanos with the gems on him. I was like, hey, this works. So then I started playing that in A4s and some other stuff, and suddenly I was like, why am I not doing this in Black Order? I'm just killing people. Why not get some points for it and have Corvus of Proxima as well? And then that's how the roster and the article and stuff came to be, I think.
Sure.
Just how would you describe Black Order's play style, Dave?
Beat face. No, it's a combination of... What's popular now in the meta is like cruising with a points difference. Like you grab a central point with Angela, run away, and cruise a bit. But Black Order just brings a fight to you, and uses it to win the attrition and then out control the opponent with Thanos. So it's strike hard, and then when the dust is settled, control the opposition so they can't score any points anymore. In a nutshell.
I think they've gotten actually slightly worse in that Angela exists. Before Angela, people would just have to go in the middle of the board to get something.
And
then Thanos would just eat them alive. Now it's a little harder for them. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still think Black Order is a great call into these kind of grab and run strategies. But it's a little harder now because people run like back to deployment zone, basically.
Yeah.
Which is, maybe we can get into that as to the tempo of a game and where you're safe and where you're not. But I guess I'll say that I really enjoy not having to play Angela and Enchantress personally in the leagues and games, and just because I feel like it's kind of a little boring, to be honest. Yeah, and
I hate it, please, though.
Yeah, and Thanos' ability to double reposition minis means that you can kind of punish people for improperly grabbing things or overvaluing VPs a little bit.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know if you want to, maybe you could explain to people, like, what's the average tempo of a game? How does it generally go? I mean, like the first turn or two? I mean,
for me, as the Black Order player?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on crisis, of course, but if my opponent makes the mistake of grabbing a central extract and moving back a bit with them, or just sitting there, like, if I bring Skrulls or alien ship, they're kind of stuck in the middle of the board. So if they make the mistake to go for it before I pass until I can't. And if they make the mistake to go for the extract, that model just gets ported back almost to my deployment line, and Corvus just and Thanos Proxima kill that model, giving me the extract, KOing it the next turn. And thank you for the extract. I'm scoring 2 points, sitting here on my back point. And we're tying on points. So if you didn't bring the fight to me, I'm just peeling off one model at a time and pushing all the others back and winning, going ahead on KO VPs.
I just want to unpack that a little bit, Dave, because I know you know exactly what that means.
Yeah.
Just in case the listeners,
yeah.
Just that first turn. So let's say I don't know what I'm doing into Black Order, and I move up and I go and grab the central cube.
Yeah.
Let's say, and I've gone with, I don't know, let's say Valkyrie's gone up, let's grab it.
Yeah.
What you would do as a Black Order player in response to that.
Yeah, sure. Also depends a bit on point value, but let's say it's 17 points, the sure. average point value. That means I have a time gem on Thanos and the mind gem on Thanos. I have Corvus with the reality gem and Proxima. I run a 3-man team there. What I do is I basically pass if I have priority. Then my opponent can go maybe grab a cube, I pass, and let's say they go for the center extract with Valkyrie. What I do then is I activate Thanos. I move him within range 4 of the central of the model, and I think if they grab it there, it's just one move. Mm-hmm. So it's one move. Port them in with the cosmic portal. Cost 2 power. You have 3 power because you're running the mind and the time gem, giving you both an extra power. You port them two closer, then you mind gem them in a short closer. And what that means is if you do the combination of those two, they end up base to base with Thanos if they're on a small base. And Thanos has 2 actions left, so you can do 2 strikes. Again, fueling Thanos with all the power he gains from this for the next turns to have more control or add dice on Corvus for death decrees. If you didn't kill that model, Corvus just moves up, do a strike, add some dice onto that from Thanos. And that's just the dazed model, giving you that central extract. And what that means for the next round is that you activate first because you're only running 3 models. Corvus kills that model that just been dazed. So you score a VP from that. And basically, your opponent has a character that never activates when they grab a central extract.
Mm. So it's very, very strong on that. So how do you avoid falling into that trap then? So what should I be doing then when I'm seeing this against me?
Well, the mistake is what people do. I had a game a couple of days ago. I won't mention against who it was, but you got a bit upset because he lost. He was basically playing with Angela and Enchantress. And I killed this Enchantress and Angela basically before they could do anything really significant. It can be a bit upsetting if you don't know what to do, but then I got accused that it was the Blake War was a bit lame to play. And I was like, yeah, but running to the center with Angela and retreating with an extract and just running away with Enchantress, I find that kind of lame, you know? Yeah. But that's, if you'd go for that playstyle, you're not fighting with me. You're just trying to, you're probably ahead 1 point. That's what you're doing. But you're not fighting with me. I'm the one engaging first. And my offense with these few models is extremely high. The dice odds, it's a 7-in-8 chance to hit with Corvus when he rolls his blanks with a glaive's edge. I mean, he's just gonna daze and KO people. So if you're not bringing the fight to me turn 1, you're just doing this sort of half-seas play where you're, maybe 1 model is in front and the rest is sitting back scoring points. Sure, you're going to get ahead on points for 2 rounds. But after that, we're tying on models. And I've catched up with the KO VPs. And from that point on, I'm just out-controlling you with Thanos. Mm. So what someone should be doing is just out-activate me. So maybe I have double my activations at 17, like 6 models, 5 models. And then bring the fight to me. Just daze Thanos. And in some cases, you have it's Corvus. That all depends on which crises and which affiliation you're running. I'm doing X-Force lately, and I'm running lots of rapid fire models. I mean, I am winning the fights against Black Order, so they have to do something else.
I just want to mark on that point. Some people would say, "Well, shouldn't I be killing Corvus? If Corvus has got all this great dice math, shouldn't I be targeting down Corvus?"
You're just powering him up for his injured side. And you have the card Blood to Spare, so Corvus will strike back. And Thanos is, in early game, Corvus is dangerous, sure. But it's all about the late game. If Thanos has 3 actions, he's just as dangerous. I mean, he's going to roll wilds on his strike, so just line up someone and just keep wild attacking him into terrain for the extra damage. He's dazing people as well. Yeah. And once Thanos is injured, he loses his cosmic portals. So basically all his control. So if you got ahead on VPs, you'll probably stay ahead of VPs because now I can't just... Because what I do like in round 3 or 4 when I've killed 2 or 3 models of my opponent, Thanos just triple moves most of the time and just go be like, oh, you've activated. Yeah, you go off to secure and you go off to secure. You can sit next to Corvus. If he can't do that anymore, then yeah, I probably won't be able to catch up anymore on the VP lead.
So I think that's really telling. The other thing just to add to that is Death's Decree. Death's Decree gets better when you're injured.
Yeah, yeah. So, that as well. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And it's easier to control Corvus than to to kill him. If you mean if you focus all your efforts into Thanos, you can get him off the board. I only have three models. If you have like 5-6 activations, you can just, if you put some effort into it, you dazes.
Who needs 5 or 6? My plan with my Brotherhood roster is
you've got Magneto or something, yeah.
I'll hang someone out to dry, someone like Valkyrie, probably someone who's a juicy target, and they want to get rid of her because she's potentially a very impactful character. Thanos comes up, and when he comes up, I can then maybe Valkyrie's thrown some terrain around, so I've got 3 power on Magneto and 2 power on Scarlet Witch. Magneto will then climbing gear forward, and then maybe have to move once, throw an attack into him to pull him forward, and then start throwing terrain into him. And then Asteroid M in Scarlet Witch, and I have dazed Thanos very happily on round 1 using that strategy.
Yeah, probably. So, yeah, for sure.
And that's really impactful, because then for the rest of the game, my opponent's like, I'm going to Cosmic Portal. I'm like, Thanos got dazed. He also loses his leadership as well, is the other thing by dazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not rewarding them for KOing people like they are without Thanos being dazed. So in case you haven't taken this away, yeah, if you're going to try and punch them, punch Thanos, not Corvus.
I do want to back up a little and just explain a little more of why Blackwater is really good. Is this game has the ability to pass, right? So especially in the first turn, you can just pass a bunch. I mean, most people these days play like 5 characters, so you can pass usually like once or twice, and then kind of wait for them to do something, maybe make a mistake, and then usually you have like one character, like it may be a Koye, Proxima, Zemo, that can kind of do nothing for an activation, so you go with them. And then basically you're just waiting for your opponent to be activated. And so you can, first of all, you can kill activated characters, which doesn't change the priority of the game. Because you have so few characters, you're almost always stealing priority. Also, you have husband and wife, which mega steals it, right? Because if you're playing the very vanilla Corvus Proxima Thanos, you've basically got 2 activations. So you can really pressure to take priority. The key too is then once you have priority, usually like on the second turn, and characters are in poor positioning, like for example 2 characters standing next to Corvus, often Corvus can daze both of those characters, and then that puts you in a tough bind, because not only are they getting killed, but then you have so few activations, or you activate Proxima, that it doesn't really matter. You still will generally maintain priority on the next turn as long as you don't get too crazy. So basically controlling priority is massive for Black Order.
Yeah, for sure.
And just the ability to pass is so powerful as well, because even though you might kill a few characters on turn 2, you still may end up just having Thanos pass for like the rest of the turns, because you just want to control out people and move them off of things. And Thanos can, I'd say the biggest thing Morgan taught the community was you could, never attack with Thanos and still win games. And he did that really well. And I believe season 3, he did that. And it's completely true. I mean, I know Cookie's mentioning the time gem, and he can be pretty lethal. But for me personally, I'd rather trust the guarantee moves and less attacking when I can on Thanos. Sadly, Thanos has let me down a few times with dice rolls. But don't get me wrong. I mean, sometimes you can get 3 attacks and just kill really well. His throw on his strike also has no size restriction. So, I mean, if you're having him punch like a MODOK or a Hulk or something, it can be really damaging on the wild rolls.
Another MODOK, but yeah.
I personally know from talking to you, Cookie, that you are a fan of like, don't send one character at a time if you intend to beat Black Order. Yeah. I would like to hear your opinion on more of like maybe what I think people naturally assume is the counter, which is like running away. I actually lost my game this week playing Black Order because my opponent was able to run away from me. Now I would just say, Cookie as my witness, my dice were not good enough in that game, so the game kind of went longer than it should have. Like the tempo was really bad for me because. I think what we've kind of indirectly hinted at is that there is an expectation of KOs on turn 2 and maybe even turn 1. And if you're not KOing characters until like turn 3, it's a problem because generally you're falling behind on points. We've said many times in previous podcasts that or episodes that Black Order wants to win priority and take extracts, I think, almost every time. Is there an example of when you wouldn't take extracts, Cookie? Yeah. If you won priority?
When they have the same extracts as me?
Yeah, I guess. And then just...
I don't know, yeah. I mean, I'm running Alien Ship and a Research Station.
Yeah, and then there's Skrulls, Mystic Herbs is a choice. Yeah. So I personally, if I win priority, I'm always taking extracts. The reason is because extracts allow the game to screech to a halt with specific choices. Like Skrulls, the person may just not score it the entire game. They might waste power trying to get it. Also, them attempting to get it puts them in poor positioning. So it's a huge factor in winning with Black Order. Now, if you're thinking, okay, we'll just win priority, which I've heard is kind of a Facebook meme, then, you know, sure, okay, so Black Order loses priority, the opponent takes extracts, they pick a fast extract. I know a lot of people feel Spider Infected is the worst one for Black Order.
Oh, it is. It is.
Yeah. And so you grab like three of them. You know, Angela grabs middle. You grab your home two. You run away with everybody. And then you just try to score like one VP on the secure somewhere. For example, if it's like Demons Downtown, maybe you just hold your home one. And you try to win that way and like kind of run away and like use the score to, you know, the extracts to keep up a lead on points. So what my question though about running away, do you think that's viable?
No.
Okay.
I mean, what happens is, I mean, a lot of my game, that's the current meta, right? What you're describing.
Yeah.
Grabbing three and making your list so you can force that you grab three and your opponent doesn't, or even four, and then just sit on a point and hide in the corner with someone who has three cubes or two cubes and or the spiders. But what it means with Black Order is I have three spiders, right? I have, if it's spider infected, I have it's the worst one though. So let's say Demon Downtown and spider infected. Proxima will grab a spider and sit on the back portal.
Sure.
Yeah, and then I'll just pass a bunch till I can't. Thanos will grab the other spider because never put a spider on Corvus. In fact, never have him hold an extract anyway, because then it's just wasting power.
Well, and you have Mothership, right?
And you have Mothership. Yeah, exactly. And so just grab the spider with Thanos, and if someone is in range, portal him in. Otherwise, move Thanos up and portal someone in. And if you want to be aggressive, just Mothership Corvus in his activation, because they both have some power. If Thanos did another strike and gained some power of the strike there, and then just start beating those models with extracts, pulling them in, and trying to daze them, and put the extracts behind your models. So if the opponent wants to score points, they have to come to you. Leave them on the floor. That's also something I do often. Because that forces it's bait for the opponent. Just try to grab it.
So, but you're kind of saying that when you send in, like, even unwillingly, like one character at a time, you're kind of just feeding Black Order.
It's what I call a staggered approach. There's a my first game, it was against Norbert. Norbert's a great guy. It was a fun game. He had a pretty good list versus for Black Order, but. He also made the mistake that it was a D shape, and I prefer D shapes actually with Black Order because it forces these isolated fights, and people want to sit on the different secures, creating this staggered approach actually, because let's say you sit on the left D secure and on your back one, and I just sit with Proxima on my back one, and put Thanos all the way on the right one where you had someone. I can just kill that model with Thanos and Corvus then. And then he suddenly has models on the secure all the way on the other end of the table and his back one. When I activate, I'm just going to grab one model and kill it. And suddenly the opponent's for the choice. I'm going to lose the attrition here. So do I want to sit here and score points? Or do I kind of have to bring the fight to him? But that means I will lose on points because now I'm losing the secures. So... that's what I call the staggered approach. That's losing. So bring the fight right away to Black Order, and then you don't have the problem because the fight is going to happen anyway.
Okay, so we need to bring the fight to Black Order, and we need to bring the fight to Thanos specifically. So who do you think are the best characters for taking down Thanos?
Well, intuitively, people might think you should bring the big hitters, right? Like MODOK, Magneto, Witch. But that basically means you have fewer models, and it's faster for Black Order to KO you. Because I don't care with Corvus if you're running, I don't know, say Black Panther or Wong, because I have Execute in there, you have Glaive's Edge, Deathblow, you're going to do 7 dice, and Black Panther's not going to roll defense dice, so he's going to daze. And Wong will just die as easily. The dice odds are so ridiculously in favor of Black Order. It's not really hard to daze someone, and Panther on his injured side doesn't have any cool defensive tech besides rolling some more dice. So I would say have more models, because your models are going to die anyway. You'd rather have like 4 activations left after I've gone with my basically 2 activations. And it creates awkward situations where I might have to pass, because otherwise I get out-controlled if it's a real fast scenario. So the combination of more models and more attacks also, maybe I'm going from one thing to the other, but with more models, you also have more attacks, and it doesn't really matter if you roll 6 dice or 4 dice into, let's say, a Corvus, because most of the time you're doing 1 damage anyway. Mm. So rather have more instances of attacks than bigger attacks. I mean, there's a difference, of course, if you're rolling 12 dice with rerolls. Of course, that's better. But in general, if you have no modifications, I'd rather have 4 dice attacks instead of 2 6 dice attacks. That makes sense.
But we've already said that maybe attacking Corvus isn't the best.
No, I mean, it could be Thanos.
If you can take out Corvus quickly and get him on his flip side, that kind of makes all you've got a lot worse, though. And Cookie did mention earlier the rapid fire tech. Rapid fire is definitely like kind of the counter to Corvus. I don't know, though, that that's like the counter to Thanos, though, right? Because you're trying to push like 1 damage at a time, and Thanos has a different version of invulnerability.
It's not the minimum of 1, so that's a bit different. But that's a very specific list that also has lots of rerolls, so you can get it through. But I mean, it's why I hate playing against Guardians of the Galaxy. My most losses are versus Guardians. So that's
I lost to you playing Guardians, and I was Black Order.
It was
a little bit of a wacky game, but it happens. This is a dice game. And, you know, that's what I was saying earlier about having these swarm lists. It's like a volume of dice, right? Where, like, Corvus is not a volume of dice. He rolls 5 dice strikes, but his dice are insane, right? With the 1/4 crit and 7 of 8 hits generally, right? With even a pierce. So, you know, there's quality of dice and volume, and swarm is definitely volume.
And what Guardians have going for them is that a lot of their affiliated sort of punch a bit above their weight. They're not the most resilient, but can, you know, put out damage pretty well. But from what I was taking away, I asked what kind of characters. So if I put this back to you as an answer, we're looking for cheap but high damage potential characters. Yeah. So some ones who might spring to mind being like Valkyrie or Zemo or Domino.
Yep.
Those sort of hard hitting threes, let's just drop Okoye in there, shall we?
She has a reroll, right? And range 4, that's also annoying.
Yeah.
If you have lots of range 4 attacks, that means you can threaten me from a sort of safer distance.
You know, I actually found Cable to be pretty decent against them because of range 5. You know, he may not hit super hard, but. And I know he's kind of against what you're saying with the expensive characters, but if you were at like a really high, you know,
just like Rocket
threat value,
just like Rocket, he's just
I'm just saying, like, with the range and his teleport, and then he's so far away that he's not really like in danger unless you mega commit into him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the obvious one too is like Domino's incinerate grenade. Even just saying the effects, what's the word? All the
conditions.
Yes, the conditions are very frustrating for Black Order, to the point where if I'm playing Corvus with Shock, And I'm planning on using all you've got. I might use an action to remove that shock, because Corvus's dice value is so much higher than normal that knowing I'll get 3 attacks is, in my opinion, probably better than 4 attacks, but with the shock in there, you know?
Yeah, and stun is also super annoying for Corvus, because the train that Corvus needs to get rolling is like, what I'd like to do is on turn the top of round 2, do a Glaive's Edge strike, boosted by Tannel, so it's a 7-die strike, and that often just dazes a character. That means if the character has 6 or 5 health, Corvus will gain 6 or 5 power, allowing him to do a Glaive's Edge death blow. So that's another 7 dice with blanks. I can daze 2 characters with that pretty
very reliably. Yeah. He's referring to Death's Decree, the range 4, add 2 dice on one side, and then if you're on your daze side, you get add 4 dice to the attack, which, oh my gosh, 9 dice strike Glaive's Edge is, that's a drug.
Yeah.
Just so insane.
Yeah, but if you can stop the train from rolling, I mean, that hampers the damage output a lot.
Okay. Yeah, it definitely stun is rough for him.
Yeah, and that's so, also, if we're talking counters, I don't know if you... Sorry, Jacob, you want to say something?
No, it's exactly... I think you're going exactly where my question was going, so carry on.
Yeah, there are other counters, of course. Another matchup I find quite difficult, if played correctly, is Web Warriors. And again, don't do the runaway thing. But Web Warriors are actually pretty good in a fight. And they have this, what I call, layers of defense. Defenders can do the same. It's like you have Gwen with Lifesaver. So if you Lifesaver someone away, and Corvus did a Glaive's Edge, that Glaive's Edge is wasted. Because for the rule's sake, the attack has happened. It failed, but it has happened. So you wasted the Glaive's Edge. Same with Death's Decree. So if you have Gwen with Lifesaver, Okoye with a Bodyguard, Venom with Lethal Protector, there are so many layers you have to get through that I don't get the damage on the models that I want. So, and instead, maybe just powering up those models. Venom can heal back up. Venom can strike me back and bleed. So that's more other damage coming in. So Web Warriors can be pretty good. On top of that, they have all the displacements, so they can pseudo-stagger Corvus with some well set up web pools. And defenders can do the same now with Iron Fist. They have also Heroes for Hire. I mean, you could play Heroes for Hire even in Web Warriors if you bring him Iron Fist. Iron Fist can shut down Thanos with this big attack. It's very painful if that happens. I've had that happen to me once. So that's just 9 points doing nothing, not even Portling.
They have Hawkeye, right?
Hawkeye with Shock, and you bring Okoye in there. Okoye rolls blanks on her defense, so if Doctor Strange adds 2 dice onto that, she has 5 dice blanks, because Corvus' big attack is range 2, if you want to use that one to fuel him up. So that, again, there are these layers of defense that you can win the fight with, but you have to bring the fight as well.
Yeah, I mean, everything Hawkeye does is actually pretty annoying for Corvus. Like, bleed's the least of them, but slow and poison. Poison is surprisingly annoying because it's like he loves that 2 power every turn.
Yeah, shock. And in defenders, he can hex as well, turning off the crits.
Oh my god, hex. He hates hex. Actually, that's another thing Domino does really well against Corvus. Is she shuts down the extra dice, which is a big part of what he does.
Yeah, I really like her. She's so good.
Okay.
So, if I was trying to build a control list, we talked about Hawkeye, Domino, who's featured now twice, once in control and once in offense. So I think we've got Domino as a already featured twice. Who else should I be thinking about? What kind of characters can do that control style that helps?
I think you have to... It's maybe a bit different per affiliation, of course, because if you run defenders, you might want, you already have some good characters in there, and maybe if you run, let's say, spider foes, I don't know, it's kind of hard maybe to fit everyone in.
Are we talking about sort of Shuri and Black Panther pushes? Are they any good against Black Order?
Yeah, if set up right, for sure. Shuri is pretty good because, like I said, you most of the time you deal 1 damage, and Shuri already deals only one damage, so that's fine. But you get a push on top of that for on a three cost model, and she fixes some dice on the offense if you need it. So she's a good character for sure. I don't think Wakanda in general is a bad matchup for Black Order, like sometimes is being said. It's not an easy matchup, but I think it's pretty 50-50.
Now, I got a question, Cookie. What do you think of Escort to Safety and Sacrifice as tech cards?
Pretty good, because like with Sacrifice, you can, like I said, spread the damage out. So maybe your characters are not dazed and instead are just powered up. I mean, if I can't daze a Valkyrie, but if I did damage on her, I'd be pretty upset because she can just one shot Thanos with if she has 5 power.
So Corvus hits a character, maybe dazes them, I don't know, attacks another character, you'd redirect it to Valkyrie. Corvus rolls great and gets 5 hits, but Valkyrie's got 6 health, right?
Yeah.
And you just gave her 5 power. Yeah. And that seems pretty strong.
If you're looking for a brawl and you want to do it that way, look at 6 health characters, I think. Cause with the 5 health, so too easily taken down, and add someone like Gwen in there with a lifesaver, or if you don't want to, that card, which you're just talking about, is pretty good.
I would note Martial Artist is pretty solid because it negates the Pierce with Corvus.
Yep.
Escort to Safety is really good. If you, I've had it used against me while I was playing Black Order. They played it off of Shuri because she can kind of keep decent distance and she gets enough power even on turn one if she rolls a skull. So she can do like move, shoot, 2 power gain, and then she has 3 power, and then Escorts to Safety costs 3 power, and then you're range 3 of another character, and now that character is annoyingly safe from Corvus or whatever.
Yeah, and don't make the mistake of taking Matt back against Black Order, because that's basically a death. Yeah, it's just a death.
That's such a good point. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, because...
interesting one actually is Brace. What do you feel when you see Brace against you?
Sometimes I do think it's a bit annoying because it stops the damage I do with the Thanos with the throws.
Mm. But, a lot of people think Black Order don't have any throws. I don't need to take Brace. But the wild throw off Thanos' strike, that's what you're taking it for.
Yeah, I'd rather see Matt back across from me than Brace.
Yeah, but that being said, if someone had like Sacrifice or I don't know, even like Bitter Rivals, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe they should take that. Or even like, what do you think of what's it called? A Blight Obsession. I mean, there's only 3 minis. Maybe you can get a character to, you know, boost their offense against you. Maybe even add a few dice extra.
Yeah. Again, Blight Obsession also plays really well into a swarm-like list. If someone has Nebula in there and she's blind obsessed, that's kind of annoying. Because if I attack her, I'm not taking away points. I mean, it's an easy kill, but in a swarmy list, I don't really want to attack Nebula. I want to at least attack models that are scoring points to keep the point scoring low.
You know, it's funny we're talking. I actually think Black Order kind of destroys the restricted list because even field dressing, you know, with the advent of Grievous Wounds, my round 2 opponent had field dressing and he didn't use it once.
It's still a good card though, right? Because I mean, sure, I can daze one model and with Grievous Wounds and you can't get them back up, but you have other models, so if you run 5-6 models, at least you can field dress another. And field dressing can be feel like you've wasted an entire activation of Corvus just dazing that model and then being all for nothing.
Whatever you point Corvus at tends to explode.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter whether they had 1 health left or 6 health left.
Yeah,
that still took his activation to maybe move next to them and then punch them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good point. When I used it, I took out like a 5-threat character and I Grievous Wounds the character Scarlet Witch, and that worked out really well for me. Now, if my opponent was doing more like 3-threat, 2-threats, and kind of like what we've been saying with more swarmy style, then yeah, I think field dressing stock goes up because... Yeah. You know, you're just kind of overwhelmed, right? And then giving a powered character another activation and then having to kill that character the next round is just another wasted action, quote unquote wasted, on Corvus. Also, just keeping your characters not on their daze side is insanely important, right? Because if you burn more turns when they're not getting those free VPs, that's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'll let you go, Jacob, if you have a good question.
I wanted to pick up on something which you said earlier. You said spiders is the worst extract for you. Could you just explain why that is? And then the other side of that is, so then what do you think the worst secures? If you've got priority and you're choosing extracts, what secures should I be bringing and picking against the Black Order roster?
Sure. Spiders is the worst because, one, I'm not picking extracts that way, so I can make it slow because there are 5 VPs on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Skrulls or Alien Ship, there are basically 0 VPs on the table because I'm not picking it up. And if you pick it up, you basically gave it to me. So the secures are the only points scored. And with Spider Infected, I'm not going to pick up 3 spiders anyway. I mean, you could do it with 10.
Well, you can't. Is the problem?
Well, I could if I have because I don't have priority, right?
No. So, maybe I'm misunderstanding you, but I guess I'll just cut to the chase of the. You can only hold 1 spider at a time.
Yeah.
That stuff messes with Black Order.
Yeah.
Right.
And, I mean, you can also double move to the center, pick it up, and move back. But I don't have spiders, so I'm not winning priority. So I probably don't have the center one. And you would only do a spider on Thanos and Proxima because you don't want the Corvus, because if he moves in the power phase, he's basically staggered if you get the movement effect off. It isn't that bad on a time Thanos because he's more of a control piece and he has 3 medium moves if you want. Proxima is a long move and she basically sits on the secure most of the time. So that doesn't really matter, but it's just 2 VPs you have and your opponent can score 3 while staggering your models. So it's annoying.
Okay.
So come back to it though. So what ends up happening on spiders is things are dying all over the place. Spiders are getting dropped on the ground. If the spiders didn't have a restriction on them, then you could have like Proxima just go and gobble up like 3 spiders at once. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're slowing the game down for even Black Order player because they can just, even if you're playing 3 characters, you can only hold 3 spiders. And as Cookie was saying, you wouldn't really want to give a spider to Corvus like ever, so unless it's like really late in the game perhaps, but so the game is just a lot more difficult for Black Order because they can't three characters,
they have that catch-up mechanic, like if it was Hammers, I can lose a bit on VPs and then do the dazes and KOing those extract holders, and suddenly I'm holding the Hammers and now I'm scoring those 5 points, 6 points a turn with the KOs and my opponent's scoring maybe 1 or 2 points. So, I mean, I've had games where I was behind 10-2 and then suddenly won 22-10 or something because of the flow, how that goes.
Hmm. So let's flip it over then onto secures. I've lost priority. Yeah. You're getting to pick one of your slow extracts like Alien Ship. What should I be doing?
I think you either want gamma waves because it forces you to bring the fight. So you're getting it in mentality. It can be a very fast secure. If you're a bit more swarmy, like 5-6 models, I don't want on turn 2, I don't want to pass. But I kind of have to go on gamma waves because if I activate too fast and I don't daze enough models, you're just sitting on my back point and suddenly scoring maybe 6 points a turn. Mm. You can close out the game real fast. So it becomes a more of a standoffish game for me as well. That can lead to some risky situations where suddenly Thanos does get dazed or takes too much damage. The gamma damage is also 1 more damage on my models. And that's really annoying when they have the damage reduction. So mm-hmm. It feels like 2 damage. So I think gamma waves is one of the best answers, and otherwise,
what about Fisk? Fisk does have the stun. I mean,
stun, but my tactic on those like Fisk and Terrigen is just I go all in on one flank. I mean, I deploy in the center, but then I go all in on one flank and overwhelm that flank, win that flank, and with the KO VPs, I get even, and then you peel off 1 models. A time at the that's on the other one. So that one I don't really mind, but another one I hate is like Mutant Madman or the D shape with the flips.
Spider portals.
Because like I said, I like a staggered approach, but they don't have to. They just flip the points and then run away. And then on that, those kind of scenarios, running away kind of works because they are scoring points while they're not on the points. Because the strong point of Black Order is I know where you're sitting if they're not flip scares. So I know where you're sitting with your models, so I can set up my next turn really well because I know there's going to be a model there, so I'm going to kill it. But with the flip scares, you're just going to the point, flip it, and move back. And you're going to score points off of that secure every round unless I do something about it. So it kind of goes too fast for me on those scenarios.
But not meteors, because the deadly meteors, because it's a little too central.
Yeah. Then I'm going to sit between the, let's say, the left one and the center one. And maybe I'm not going to score rounds 1, 2, and 3. So I'll lose 9 points of that. But I'm going to score turns 4, 5, and 6. Because
and then hopefully get some VPs off your leadership.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that happens to also be where you need to go to pick up meteors or to pick up alien ships or scrolls.
Yeah, with a big chance of me having it. So
yeah, if you want it, yeah.
Yeah, because that's also a nice thing, and we haven't touched upon it, but Corvus with the reality gem has a pretty decent chance to find the scroll or the alien ship.
Yeah. Because the way the gem works, right?
Yeah, because the skull is a crit, and you need a crit to find it.
So I think we haven't really officially talked about roster at all. Obviously, people listening could find Blackwater is relatively generic, but I'm just going to throw it out there that, first of all, I think one of the biggest things you've added in the way to play them that I've been impressed with is my boy Baron Zemo. When you get Zemo on 2 power... and add Thanos' death decree to a Master Swordsman attack, it feels real, real good.
Just a 3-point Corvus.
Yeah, I mean, just to give you an idea, so his strike is 5, you add 2 dice, that's 7, and then you get full dice rerolls with Master Swordsman, and then another reroll after that with Genius. So it often can feel like something like 14 dice at the end of the day. If you roll in crits, it just gets crazy.
Yeah.
That's just for context. That's better than Magneto, who's got the best builder in the game.
Yeah, and it fuels up Zemo, right? So
yeah,
he can do it round after round after round.
Yeah, then once he does it once and he gets like 8 power, it's just like, okay, we're doing this for the rest of the game, you know?
Yeah.
And so I personally too, I know you mentioned play Corvus, Proxima, Thanos, but I actually more often do Zemo, Corvus, Thanos.
Sure. If you don't need the priority.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. Careful for people listening. That's not always. Especially if you're playing like the mirror, you want as few activations as possible. So you would play Proxima for sure. Mm-hmm. But if you're playing like maybe an Asgard or something, playing like lower activation count, you got to be a little careful not to give them priority. It can get kind of bad.
Oh man, I hadn't even thought about the mirror. I'm just thinking it through now, and there's all sorts of weird things.
I hate it.
Yeah, that's a conversation I don't know if we're going to have time for, but I like cards like Follow Me become more powerful in the mirror just to try to cheat more, you know? Can you go down the list? You want me to go down the list, Cookie?
If you have it in front of you, maybe it's.
I do have it. Let me go. So we mentioned the 3 Corvus, Proxima, Thanos. That's pretty obvious. Reality Gem, stapled. You got the Mind Gem. Then the Time Gem was mentioned already. We're also playing the Power Gem. I don't know if you want to explain that briefly.
Sure. On the awkward point values, like 16, I play instead of the Time Gem, I play the Power Gem. So that's 16 points. And that makes Thanos even more of a control piece because he has the Mind Gem and 2 portals online on round 1.
And the Power Gem lets you decree basically every turn.
As well. Yeah.
The other characters, Okoye, Zemo, as I mentioned, and Loki. Loki, I actually have like barely ever played. I even asked Cookie, like, why am I playing Loki? He's like, well, it's really good in the mirror because of the I Am a God stuff.
Yeah.
And then he's got the he makes you pay extra for things, which is really annoying for them.
And he also strikes with blanks, so
yeah. I'm a god for defense and offense, and then messing with power is really strong. Yeah. Trickster is solid because like Corvus, Viki gets fooled by Trickster pretty well.
Yeah.
So
And he can do the same trick with Corvus, right? Corvus powers himself up with a strike and then does his spender. And Loki can do the same. He can power himself up with a strike with a Death's Decree onto it. So it's 7 dice blanks. And with that power, he can do his mystic attack with I'm a God.
Yeah. There's a lot of weird little combos with the team. One combo I enjoy is like Corvus Proxima, Zemo, Thanos with Time Reality. And you kind of you can even split them up a little bit into teams. So it's like Corvus Proxima go one way, Thanos, Zemo kind of go the other way. I like to have Thanos pump up Zemo to do some like big rolls, and then kind of leave Thanos for the end to always like try to control a little bit and reduce VP gain.
Yeah, Zemo fixes his 3 attacks, right, with a reroll. Makes him a lot more consistent.
Oh, right, that as well. So, I mean, but there's other variables there. You can add in gems and kind of, there's not like a strict rule, I don't think, as to like every threat value. I think you have to kind of weigh it by what you're playing against.
Yeah.
I know I lean personally a little bit less towards time than you do. I don't trust it sometimes, but
it's my crutch.
You know, yeah, there's definitely people out there that are like disciples of the time gem. And that was very apparent last season. Got really popular. Kind of, like you said, from the whole drafting thing, I think it got people interested in it.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions, Xavier? Jacob, I did have one question, but it's more of a fluff question, to be honest.
What I was going to put out there was, do you think, when you're thinking about team tournaments, Black Order to me seem like such an obvious fit? We're not entirely sure like what the agreed on format's going to be that we settle on, but there's going to be some kind of limitation on the characters you can take. And yeah, Black Order just seems like they don't want any of the characters that anybody else wants.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I've done a few team tournaments and I was always playing Black Order, and it made the list building so much easier. It's like, okay, I just want Zemo, so you guys can't have Zemo. That's it.
Well, think about what you just said, right? Like, you're playing 7 cards that like no one else uses.
Yeah.
So pretty much your restriction is like add a 2-threat, a 3-threat, and a 4-threat, and the game, it's over. You're done.
Yeah, because Okoye is in there, so there's a bit of a fight over her. But I don't play her as much, so I just take Wong. Wong is decent.
I mean, actually, that leads me into a question I want to ask you about. Which do you think is better now, Okoye or Bob, since Bob just became legal?
I've been thinking about that. Okoye can bodyguard versus like a Wanda or a Magneto. So maybe I value her higher because of that. But Bob just deals 9 damage with 2 damage to everyone else on like Gamoys or something.
Well, my argument for Okoye is she's tankier, and I find when I play Black Order, somebody has to like score some VPs. Like, maybe I'm not like all in as you are and like allowing all the VPs to just run away. I like to have someone like holding an extract and like hanging back somewhere, and I just trust Okoye to do that job. And then by the way, she has a 4 range attack, so like she still can do things sometimes. Where Bob, I wouldn't trust Bob. like randomly some dude could just go and kill him, like, you know.
Yeah.
Bob is paper, right? He's what, 2 dice defense and 3 health or something, right?
I don't know, something like that. He has a rocket, that's all I know.
I can look it up. I'm pretty sure he's just complete paper.
I think so too.
I'll find out. Sorry, in for the team conversation, you guys can continue, but I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah, but like I was saying, Jacob, it's super easy to have Black Order as your 3rd teammate.
Which, again, means if you're planning on going to a team tournament, you've got to think about, right, well, which of us is going to try and play into Black Order?
Yeah.
So I guess that leads naturally on to what would be your nightmare, your best countered roster to see against you?
I think now maybe Sam Avengers with like lots of models, because if I daze or KO them, they get a free move, so they can keep their models even safer, and then with that free move, get to attack range, or even move some models away. So I think that can be pretty annoying. I hate Guardians of the Galaxy with all their status effects and strong attacks, and even their random card can hand out stun at random, so that's also annoying.
about Sin and X-Force? So Sin as in like Sin. Cabal.
Yeah, Sin and Cabal.
They got Dark Reign, so they could really pummel somebody.
Yeah, you. I mean, if you do Sin and Crossbones back to back onto Thanos with Dark Reign.
If you time that right, you can even steal priority. You have to be really careful with your passing and who you're targeting.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. If you play against it as a Black Ward player, you're like, okay, I have to either day Sin or Crossbones, so they don't get the priority switch. But maybe they are not the targets I really want to attack because they're more dangerous targets out there. And if I take the other ones, I'm dazing them, so now they can suddenly steal priority. So that's it's a fun matchup. It's pretty tricky.
What about, is this where Mystique's leadership shines for Brotherhood, where you've got a 3-cost leader and now we've got quite a lot of more cheaper affiliated characters going wide in Brotherhood under Mystique?
Yeah, and again, she doesn't have she makes it so you don't have to sit on that secure, so you don't have to be there, so you can actually run away a bit.
Yeah, so you do like a map. What is it? B and D.
B or then the D is suddenly not that great.
Right, that's a good point, Jacob.
Yeah, and not a popular model, but. My game I lost against Brotherhood was versus Mystique with Sabretooth in there, because Sabretooth with the exceptional healing card, it's just so annoying. He strikes back as well, and then he heals, and he can do some big damage with this suspender.
So, yeah, it's just, he's a bit dicey, but I can see in that situation, it might work well.
Yeah, and they, a lot of bleeds with those exceptional healing characters.
Yeah.
I gotta look at I know Mystique's like the first time you pick something up, it's like free basically. You get like a refund.
She's got two halves to her leadership. She's got the extract side. She gets the refund on extracts, but she also, you can interact with a secure and leave a token there and go, I still get this until somebody comes and contests it and takes it away. So you put that on like your back D or on a wide D that the Black Order player is not committing to. And so you can keep scoring those points whilst bringing the force to bear that we talked about earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to be careful into her with, if she's running Deception, it also forces my round one a bit, because I can't just go with Thanos first, move up and portal someone in, because then Thanos is isolated. You just Deception him in, do with your second action with Mystique, rapid fire into him. And then you can just, Estrodam and Magneto with all you've got and get Thanos injured. So that's kind of annoying.
Seems like Brotherhood's got some game then. And it's yet one token, right? So even like Toad could go like range two away, put a token on like a random corner D or something, while also being kind of far away. And then it's like, well, do I really want to spend all my energy to kill a two-threat character that also, by the way, slippery? So, like, randomly, if I don't one-shot him, he just gets away.
I think that's better, actually. You save the interaction until later in the round, and you see which side the Black Order player is committing to, and you go and drop a token on the other side.
Yep. Fair. Well, I'm just thinking with Toad, they're not going to bite anyway. It's kind of like, lose a little bit. Like, do I really want to go after Toad just to move that token off? And then they'll just take the other side anyway, right? Like, because I feel like with Black Order, you really got to commit. You can't kind of like change your mind. It's like, if you go left, you kind of have to go left. You don't change your mind on it, like a map D, for example. Am I wrong there, Cookie? I mean,
I would agree. You have to go all in, and otherwise, you still get that weird staggered approach.
Yeah. Cool.
You said you had a fluff question, Sploosh.
Well, it's probably a leading question. If I was in a court of law, I'd probably get objection called on me. But what do you feel when people say like Black Order is like not fun to play against, or maybe even to say, you could say to play? But I'll just throw my thought out that I think the community just hasn't played against Black Order enough. It hasn't teched enough against it. I think. Call it a disrespect, but I think it's just more of like a I haven't played against it. I don't even know how it works. So how are you going to tech against something that you've never really experienced, right? But what do you think on that?
Are you asking me, Sploosh?
Yeah. What do you, if someone is it, I mean, you even said yourself, like, what if someone said you're like playing lame or whatever? I mean, yeah, you know.
I had some complaints, but those people are playing Angela and Enchantress. I mean,
get out of here. Yeah, well, I'm saying
get your lame stuff out of here as well. if I was playing like my X-Force list and you don't hear me crying like, oh, you're running away with Angela, so lame. Yeah, it's lame, but I mean, learn to play against it, I guess.
Sure, but like, you see, kind of what I'm saying is like, I think people can tech against it, and I think lame is more
just,
like
it's just another you're... affiliation you have to take account for, just like 15 gamma for Wakanda.
I'll give an example that I had to learn the hard way is playing against Criminal Syndicate without taking their leadership seriously. Like, you know, when I was playing X-Men and I ran into a couple Syndicate players, I was like, what the heck here, man? Like, this is tough, because I couldn't crack their nut as fast as they were like scoring points, and by the time I did, it was kind of too late, you know. And then I ended up, well, my tech was just like starting to bring objectives they don't like, you know? And then I felt like at least we started a little more fairly. So you see what I'm saying? Like, and that's kind of why I'm saying it's a little bit of a leading question. Do you think that there's some validity to that? That like people just aren't,
I mean,
like thinking about it enough?
No, but I get it, right? Because no one likes it when their toys get taken away. I mean, I like it that I can go like, oh, yeah, you're running that overpowered Medusa model. Nah, you're not going to play with it. it's never activating. I like that. But I can imagine that can feel a bit aggravating, right? Because you want to, I mean, especially for new players. I would never drop my Black Order list against some new player. Like, okay, this is how the game works. Just killing your stuff, and I'm doing it better than you do. But you know, it's an affiliation you have to learn to play against. And but once you do, it's just a normal matchup. I don't mind playing against with my other affiliations that I play. It's fine. Just prepare that you have to bring the fight or have a real good plan in how to avoid it and maybe even out control me. But yeah, just have a good plan. You can do it. There's some different directions you can take.
And I will say there's some counters that I don't know if we have time to mention every counter ever in the game, but like I've definitely lost some games with Black Order on you know, top tier affiliations. Like I've lost to Asgard because Enchantress kept bowing my Thanos. Even with the time gem, it was like, you know, it's a stagger every time she bows you, you know?
Yeah,
and she's defeated the rage 3, so you're like far away already, you know?
Yeah. And Odin's Blessing stops the Corvus Strain if timed right. So they have.
Yeah, and it requires sometimes your dice aren't the best, but that's how this game is.
It's still a dice game, right? Sometimes we forget. Yeah. It's not always just planning out the perfect runaway, grab stuff, and cruise on points. Yeah, I mean, I do feel that also is maybe now becoming an older meta, because with I think there's going to be some more swarm lists out there, and swarm lists are also more fighty inherited. So I think you're going to see a little shift there.
You know, something I want to mention as well is that I was talking in our Discord about how with Black Order and the characters that I'm playing, like Corvus, there's no plan B for these minis, man. Zemo and Corvus are a great example, in my opinion, of they're characters that are very, very good at killing, and the math says you should do a good job when you have the power and you have all the mods, right? But sometimes the math just betrays you and things go wrong. And the example I was giving was, you know, when I play MODOK, I would purposely, like, okay, so let's say MODOK's like range 4 of something. Some people might elect to like do double attack or something, but sometimes I would purposely move range 3, or like the turn ahead, I would move range 3 of something. And the reason is because if something goes wrong and my dice betray me, I can still bow that character and kind of protect myself and maybe even mess with their VPs, right? Because I've moved a character. The problem with playing characters like Zemo and Corvus is there is no plan B. Like, the plan is kill this character that's next to me, and if they fail, you're kind of like, well, here we are. This is my life now, you know?
In Season 4, I beat Black Order with Defenders because Corvus didn't kill Strange. that was it. That was pretty much the whole game in two dice rolls.
Yeah, but that's just how it can go.
Right. And so, you know, when people say like, oh, it's easy or lame or whatever, it's like, well, you realize I am all in on this plan. Like, there's no plan B with this. No. You know, this is the plan. I have to kill you within a certain amount of time. If I don't kill you in that certain amount of time, I probably lose this game.
Yeah. There's only one easy affiliation. That's Wakanda.
Yeah, shots fired, but so true. I mean, it is what it is, right? Like, right. So think about, you've got a character like Panther where it's like, I'm going to swing at you. I might daze you, but oops, I didn't. I moved you. Mission accomplished. So, you know, you can play with Wakanda a plan A and a plan B. It's such a good example, you know. Sometimes Shuri's just controlling some characters. Sometimes Shuri's throwing her power into dice rolls, which gets your characters dazed, you know. You could play with so many different ways.
Yeah.
Right. So just to wrap it up, I wanted to mention again the articles that you wrote, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
If you want even more information about Black Order, that's the first place to go. But if people have questions after they've read that, where can they get a hold of you?
Just hit me up on Discord. Find me on the utility cookie. Just send me a direct message. I'll be happy to help. And otherwise, you can find me on Facebook. My name is David Denoude. Just look for me there. And then just send me a message. If you have some questions, I'll happily answer them.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for coming on, Dave. And thank you, listeners, for spending some time in the Danger Room.
Well, that wraps it up for this episode of the Danger Room. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something to level up your next game. You can reach out to us on our Discord, Twitter, or Facebook. The links will be in the description. We have a questions channel on our Discord, so feel free to drop us some questions in there and we'll answer them on the show. Thank you for taking the time and listening to us. If you're liking what you hear, leave a rating or comment, or even both. We appreciate any feedback to help us grow and become a better group to bring you the best quality content that we can. See you next time in the Danger Room.
Simulation complete.